Well, I miss my wife. I was going to say I'm going to have to lay a kiss on one of those guys right down there, and they're saying, oh, no. Yeah. Not the guy with the mustache, though. I just don't know about that. Man. Isn't it fun to be in the house of God?
Amen.
Amen. I will say this. My wife and I have looked forward to being here in this missions conference. We are, I think we'll be in 7 or 8 missions conferences just right here in a row. Praise the Lord for that. But this is the one that we wanted to come to, if that makes sense at all. I hope it does. I hope that's not being, well, I'm talking to you. I'll say that to the next church as well, you know. But no, honestly, you know, we even, when my wife, when we got the phone call, we were praying that it wasn't, that the funeral was not Wednesday or Thursday. We really, really were, because then we knew that there was going to be a struggle, and there really was, and we ended up determining that the Lord would have her to go and fly to California, but she sure wanted to be here, and we'll be here then on Friday. We love you. Love being here. Can't wait till Memorial Day. I mean, it could work, you know. Hey, I don't know. You know, we'll see. We will be in Washington State then, but we're just a plane ride away. All right. Well, hey, looking forward. I hope you've been praying for this missions conference, and I believe that you have. Man, looking forward to what God is going to do. Always excited to see what God is going to do. It's an amazing thing that you could be sitting in this missions conference this very first night, and you've been praying, God, send forth laborers. God, you know, do something miraculous. May our faith promise be huge, you know. And all the while, you're thinking about those other people that God is going to use. Well, it very may well be you in here tonight that God wants to send somewhere, and you're not even thinking about it. It's not even on your mind right now. It wasn't for Jeanette and I to leave Fredonia, and I'll say more about that on Friday, but we had no idea what God was going to do in our hearts and lives. We were just sitting at a pastor's couples retreat in Branson, Missouri in 2013, and God just came by and spoke to us both at the same time. And so be prepared. Amen. I hope you're prepared to have the Holy Spirit of God speak to you tonight. And then would you respond to Him? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Would you just determine right now to do that? That would be awesome. Now, that's the scariest thing that you'll do. No, really it is. Just to determine right now that God, however you speak to me tonight, I will respond accordingly. Whatever it is. All right, if you'd make that commitment to Him, then, man, we can get started tonight. And it'll be an awesome conference. And He may speak to you tonight. He may wait until Sunday night. You just don't know. But if you're ready and prepared, then, wow, look out. And that's really what we want to talk about tonight. And so if you would, open your Bibles to Isaiah and chapter number 6. And chapter number 6. You know, when you go, you know, I'm preaching in a missions conference. I wanted to go to so many other places, to be honest with you. You know, I didn't want to go to a missions conference sermon. Does that make sense at all? You know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But God just would not leave me alone about Isaiah and chapter number 6. So we're going to read the first 5 verses. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be sitting for just a few more minutes after this, but we'll stand here for a few moments. Praise the Lord for a wonderful wife. All the guys are finally catching on. Remember, guys can only do one thing at a time, ladies. Amen. I'm trying to help us men in here, okay? They were looking for the scripture, so they could not say amen, all right? And so, but praise the Lord for wives. Amen. All right, okay. that was a close one, wasn't it? My wife texted me and she said this, love you, preach it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, you just can't do anything without your wife. I know I can't. Can't do anything right, that's for sure. Now you took that completely wrong. All right, we better get to the word, shouldn't we?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Isaiah chapter number 6. Lord, help us. Help me. Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so I'd like to preach a message this evening entitled this, Perception Reigns. Perception reigns. And so let me give you a thought, okay? And the thought is this, how you see God impacts how you see you. How you see God impacts how you see you and how you see others. How you see God impacts how you see you and how you see others. And we'll explain that here through the Scripture. So let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for this night. And Lord, again, I know and I believe that much prayer, much preparation has gone into this missions conference. And Lord, I thank you that this church loves missionaries and loves missions. But Lord, tonight it is much less about missionaries and church planners. It's much more about you. And God, may we catch a glimpse of you tonight. That is the essence of missions, is you. And Father, if we can keep our eyes focused upon you, and if we can have our perception right about you, then Lord, missions will take care of itself. And so, Father, help us tonight. Help us to listen and to hear from you this very night. Lord, we'll thank you for what you've done, and we're going to thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and lives tonight and for the rest of this week. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. How you see God impacts how you see you and how you see others. When you drive out to the ocean there in Washington State, over by Ocean Shores and even up further north along the coast, it's an amazing thing that this happens. And I don't understand the phenomenon or anything else, but as you get closer and closer, you really enter into some huge fog bank. And you may understand what it is, and I didn't take the time to necessarily figure out all the weather patterns or anything else, but it can be a beautiful sunshiny day. And you're driving along there, and as you get closer, you see it. You know, it's just like the clouds literally have just come down, and there it is. And I'm sure it's because of the ocean, and then the Olympic Mountains there too, and all that. But what's awesome is that you enter into that, and it's really an amazing thing. But the crazy thing is when you enter into that, man, there's some areas that it's almost like a rainforest type of an effect. It's very dark. It's very foggy, and because of that darkness, because of the fog, and then even oftentimes because of the rain that's coming down, you can't see very well at all. And I don't know about you, but I guess I'll say it in here. Sometimes I'm not very good at directions, especially away from Kansas. It's hard. Kansas, you know, straight. Washington, I don't, you know, it's crazy. And you enter into that fog bank or that cloud bank, and very easily you can get lost. I got lost on my honeymoon. Driving out to Ocean Shores, you know, my wife fell asleep in the truck, and I didn't know where I was going, and anyways, I got lost. And what I'm trying to get at is this, is that the cloudier it becomes, the less visible the road signs are, it's easy to miss turns. It's easy to misperceive even road signs. And I hope that is an understanding there. It's easy to lose your way. It's easy to lose your way. If you don't have that perception, if you cannot see, it's easy to lose your way. Now, we'll get back to that here in just a few moments, but let's look here at Isaiah, and I'd like to just kind of bring us up to speed here on what's taking place as we get to Isaiah and chapter number 6. And so bear with me for just a little bit here. I think it's very practical tonight to understand just a little bit about this. King Uzziah here in chapter number 6, his reign, his kingdom, if you will, was one of excellence. It was an awesome kingdom that Uzziah had here, or his reign. The Bible says this, that only Jehoshaphat's reign was greater since the time of Solomon. It was awesome. The Bible says that his name was spread abroad, even to the entering in of Egypt. And so we could say that King Uzziah had an awesome reign as king. Now, there's a man here, and there's a prophet whose name was Zechariah. He had great influence in Uzziah's life. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5 tells us that he, speaking of Uzziah, sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. All right, and so Zechariah here saw the visions of God. Zechariah the prophet perceived God. So I'll say it this way. Zechariah was affected by God. And then I believe this in turn, Uzziah then was affected by Zechariah. Okay? Zechariah the prophet saw God. All right, we don't know if Uzziah necessarily did or not, but we do know this, that Uzziah followed the prophet. Okay? So then the Bible says this, that when Uzziah, King Uzziah, became strong, that his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And so his kingdom was so great that he became proud. He went into the temple there to burn incense, which it wasn't right for him to burn incense. And Uzziah then became a leper until the day of his death. So, say, okay, well, Brother Baird, what does that have to do with any of this? Well, now, this is not necessarily, I cannot back this completely biblically, but as I studied this out historically, a couple of commentators said this, that Isaiah, or that King Uzziah, was an uncle to Isaiah. Did I say that right? King Uzziah was an uncle to Isaiah. And then another historian mentioned this, that Isaiah and King Uzziah were cousins. All right, and I thought that was interesting as I studied that out a little bit. I thought, wow, there's a relationship here besides just being a king and prophet. Are you following me? There's a relationship here that is greater than just being king and prophet. Okay, and so because of that, as I started to look here at Isaiah, and as I started to look here even at chapter number 6 and verse 1, where when King Uzziah was taken out of the way, when he died, Isaiah saw the Lord, I couldn't help but think about this, that there's a real good chance that then Isaiah may have been caught up with what Uzziah and the rest of the nation was doing. There's a good chance that Isaiah himself perhaps had started to become proud because of then the nation, all right, had stopped seeking God, or maybe had never sought God up until Isaiah chapter number 6, all right, when Uzziah was taken out of the way. Are you kind of seeing this picture? You don't have to quote me on this, but it just made logical sense here. It made logical sense in the sequence of Isaiah as well, that here in Isaiah chapter 6, he's just simply saying, hey, this is when then I actually saw the Lord. This is when then Uzziah was taken out of the way, and I was following Uzziah, as Uzziah was following Zechariah, as Zechariah was following God Almighty. Okay, and so finally here we get to the point of then Uzziah slipping off of the scene
And Isaiah then being able to see God perhaps for the very first time in his life. Now, I found that pretty awesome because, to be honest, I used to preach it that this was just a timetable. That in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. And I liked preaching that because it was different. But as I studied this out a little bit more, it seems much more logical to be the very time then and the very essence of Isaiah seeing an almighty God. Okay, now, that being said, 6 and verse 1, Isaiah saw the Lord. You know what that word saw means? It means to consider. Bear with me for a moment here. It means to perceive. It means to be affected by. Isaiah saw the Lord. Isaiah was affected by God. Okay, let me illustrate it. I have some awesome deer hunting boots. You know, they're expensive. One of the members of Bible Baptist Church gave me them because he wanted me to deer hunt really bad. And so he gave them to me, and I can walk in anything. I can walk out in the coldest of snow. You know, I can go and do all kinds of different things. Awesome boots. Still have them up in Washington State. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But anyways, if I walk in snow, I can't even tell that there's snow there. But I take those boots off and take my socks off, and I dip my toes into snow, I'm going to be affected by that snow. Okay? I mean, that's obvious, isn't it? There's an effect. And that's what this word saw is referring to. That it wasn't a matter of Isaiah, well, he should be affected by God. It was a matter of this, that when Isaiah saw the Lord, he was affected. Not because of anything that Isaiah did, but because of who God is. Amen. That's huge. So he saw the Lord. He was affected by an almighty God. And so, if you and I are going to see God, if you and I are going to be affected by God, then we know this, that hindrances must be removed. Whatever veil has been put in place between us and God, whatever that hindrance would be to keep you and I to go in or to keep us from going into the holies of holies needs to be rent in two. Does that make sense? It needs to be done away with that we might see an almighty God. But it can't be this. It can't just be sin. No, it can't be. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit of God doesn't just convict us of sin. He convicts us of specific sin. He's not going to... See, Satan's going to come and say, well, you're just a wicked sinner. And you ought to say, well, yes, I am. Thank you very much. Okay. No, the Holy Spirit of God will convict you of specific sin and then help you overcome that sin. Okay, and so that's the key. That might be a hindrance to our lives, whatever sin might be in our life, whatever that might be. Okay, and so if God is speaking to you about maybe some specific sin in your life or something specific in your life, like a job or a boyfriend or whatever it might be, then we need to ask the Lord to help us to get rid of that hindrance so that we might see God. Now, what did Isaiah see? This is the key. I don't want to dwell on what it was that may be hindering his sight, but much more on what did Isaiah see. Look down at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. And so we know it was the Lord. John chapter 12 and verse 41 tells us that he that's sitting on the throne here is Christ. All right, the Bible says, these things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. And so, who did Isaiah see? He saw the self-existent one. All right, he saw the unchangeable, the undividable, the perfect, the true, the lovely, the holy, the supreme, the good, the right, the just, the sovereign God of the universe. That's who Isaiah saw. But he saw him upon a throne. You know what your Bible say? Okay. He saw him upon a throne. Well, what is a throne? Well, a throne is a seat of honor. It speaks of royal dignity. It speaks of authority, power, and glory. Do you have a throne at your house? Not that throne.
That's good stuff, isn't it? When I think about it, I think about a man's chair. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Man, you have chairs? Does your pastor have a chair at his house? Yeah. It's got to be a big chair probably, huh? Yeah. Big pulpit, big chair. Yeah. My dad has a chair. He bought it, oh, I don't know, maybe 5-6 years ago. A huge, my feet dangle off of it. I mean, seriously, I can barely get my toes to be able to rock it, you know? I mean, huge. My wife and I can sit in there. It's an awesome chair. Hopefully he'll will it to me, you know? It's just cool. I don't know about you, but when I go door knocking and a man answers the door and the man says, oh, come on in, sit anywhere. Well, I'm not just going to sit anywhere. I'm looking for the pink chair because I'm not going to sit in his chair. Okay, well, why? Well, okay, it's like Dad. If I'm sitting in his chair and Dad comes home about 4:05 every night, I mean, it's just like clockwork. Well, if I'm sitting in his chair and I'm 39 years old, I might be able to take my dad now. He just turned 65, okay? But when he comes home, I get up out of his chair. Well, why? Because he's cranky and he can whoop you? Well, yes. But more importantly, I want to honor him. That's what a throne represents, honor. I want to reverence my dad. Not because of who I am or anything that I have done, but simply because of who he is. That is my dad, and that is his chair. Yeah. And I want to get up and honor him and reverence him. You see, so Isaiah saw Jesus Christ sitting upon a throne. But Isaiah saw him in honor. Isaiah honored him. Isaiah reverenced him. Are we seeing that here? Yeah. I tell you what, that's affecting. Yeah. I like that word reverence. That word reverence means fear mingled with respect and esteem. Yeah. Okay, so not only did Isaiah see then the Lord upon a throne, that seat of honor, but it also has to do with royal dignity, an honorable place or rank. And so my dad's chair and my dad himself, I want to place high. I want to place in an honorable place because of who he is. Royal dignity, authority. That throne has to do with authority. And I don't know about you, but my dad has authority. Yeah. We could stay there for a while, couldn't we? But it's authority. That's my dad's house. I don't have a right to do anything I want to do in my dad's house because it's my dad's house. See, that's big, that authority, the right to command or to act. That throne also has to do with power. Yeah. Now, my dad doesn't have a scepter up there and... And I'm not going to get him one either, you know. But it has to do with power. So you see the honor, the royal dignity, the power, the authority, and then the glory, the brightness, the luster. And so can you imagine just for a moment then
what Isaiah is seeing here. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon that throne, and all of these things are coming at Him. He is seeing that. He is honoring and reverencing because of the power and the authority and the glory and the splendor that is not just the throne, but is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what He's seeing there. Not only that, but the Bible says high and lifted up. Now I believe this, that Jesus Christ is high and lifted up regardless of whether you believe that or not. Well, yep. He's there. But you know that word lifted up, it's a verb. It shows action. And so I believe that Isaiah not only then saw Him high and lifted up, but also placed Him high and lifted up in his life. That Isaiah then took action and said, Lord Jesus Christ, You are going to be the power in my life, the authority in my life. Yeah, high and lifted up. So he saw Him upon the throne, high and lifted up. Then the Bible says, then His train then filled the temple. Now, when one perceives, then one is affected by that perception. Okay. When you perceive, when you see, then you are affected by that perception. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 55 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Okay, who all wants to go to England now? Sure, I do. Man, that was an awesome video. Who all wants Brother Gritz to make them a cool video like that? I do. Just wait until our video Friday. We should have went first. Yeah. Well, why? Because your eye affecteth your heart. You saw, and it affects you. I tell you what, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, as a church that loves missions, I believe that we are all affected. Now, whether we're all called to go there, hey, we'll see. There might be some folks in here that God is truly going to call, but your eye does affect your heart. And so we're not going to talk about how this perception should affect us. Seeing Christ, it's not like seeing Christ should affect you. Wait, come on. It's not like seeing Christ might affect you. When you and I see Christ, it will affect us. Amen. He will affect us. So we can gauge then very easily. Because if we're not being affected by Christ, then we're not really seeing Him. It just kind of gets right down in our business there, though, doesn't it? Yeah. Right there, we can see whether the fuel gauge is on empty or on full. Because if we're not being affected by Him, we're not truly seeing Him. Yeah. So, mine eye affecteth my heart. Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up. When we truly see Christ, He will affect us. Let's look and see how seeing Christ affected the seraphims. Look down at verse 2 there. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. Now, again, I'm not going to get into who these seraphims were, but they were mighty, all right? And look what the Bible says. They covered their faces and they covered their feet. I believe this, that they covered their faces and their feet as an act of reverence because they were in the presence of a thrice holy God. Covered their face and they covered their feet. They stand there as nothing. Not as nothing, like dragging your knuckles on the floor, nothing. Like, woe is me, and, you know, taking a whoop and a whip and smacking your back. And, you know, all those, you've seen those folks rolling up the stairs. You know what I'm saying? That's not what he's talking about there. Like they're nothing. It's as if they aren't even there because of He who is there. That's the effect that the seraphim have here. I think about it like this, that when you play hide and seek with your 3-year-old, how do they play hide and seek? They'll never see me over here. Well, they can't see you, so you apparently can't see them. And that's what it seemed like the seraphim, in the presence of a thrice holy God, it's like, hey, listen, I'm just not even here. He's here. I'm not even here. I'm nothing. It's pretty cool. So Christ affected them like that. And then they cry. They fly around crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I see it as an act of humility. As true humility. Then verse 4 says the doorposts moved and at the voice of them, and then the smoke came, representing the very presence of God filled the house. And so the seraphims were affected. But how is Isaiah affected? Look down at verse 5. So he saw Christ upon the throne, reverenced Him and holy and high and lifted up, all the splendor that He is. Then look at verse 5, and He says this, "Then said I, woe is me." Remember, punctuation is not inspired, but my King James Version has an exclamation point at the end of that. Yeah. Isaiah has seen, is that right? Has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Isaiah said, I don't think he said, "Then said I, woe is me." I think he said, "Woe is me." Or better yet, "Woe is me." Or maybe flat on his face, saying, "Woe is me." I remember when my dad, it was my 17th birthday, I decided I would be awesome. Haven't tried that one again. And say, "I'm going to stay out all night long. Because I can." And I remember it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, hadn't called my parents, hadn't said nothing. I'm a man now. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do, how I want to do it. I remember I was laying on my buddy's floor. It's June 10th, all right, my birthday. And so it's warm outside, so the front door is open, just the screen door is there. I'm laying on the floor at 2 o'clock in the morning playing Nintendo, or I don't know what in the world I was doing, probably something a lot more dumb than that, but we'll just say Nintendo. And I was doing something there, and all of a sudden, my dad is at the screen door. In all his dadness, wow. I didn't say, "Woe is me." I was like, "Ah! I'm a dead man." Now, I didn't scream out like that personally, but in my heart and in my mind, as my heart's pounding out, I literally thought I was a dead man. Yeah, and it was awesome. But he just said this. He said, "Bud, are you okay?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Happy birthday." And he walked off the porch. Woo! Praise the Lord. He got out to the car, and when my mom realized that I was okay, she said, "I'm going to kill him." Isaiah seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He cried out, "Woe is me." But watch this. He didn't cry out saying, "Woe is me, I'm such a wicked sinner." Please catch this. This is it. And by God's grace, I'll be done with just a couple more statements. He didn't cry out, "Woe is me," and he dragging his knuckles along the ground. "Oh, I'm so horrible." That's a given, isn't it? That, listen, if Satan can get you thinking that way, then he has you. Yeah. That you are just no plum good to anybody, especially to a thrice holy Jehovah God. If he can get you to truly think that, then he has you whooped. And that's a sad state to be in. Amen. That I'm so plumb wicked, I just can't do anything around here. Well, no, that's just not true.
You know what Isaiah did? He didn't. He wasn't crying out because of anything that he was or wasn't. He was crying out because of who he is. And he said this, "Woe is me." Now watch this right there in your Bibles. "For I am undone." Everybody in the room may understand this. But I tell you what, when I saw this for the first time, it amazed me. Isaiah was undone. You know what that word undone means? It means to be dumb. I like that. No, deaf and dumb. Nothing was coming out of his mouth. There was nothing to be said. There was nothing to be done. Isaiah saw him in the presence of Jesus Christ. He is affected to the point of becoming undone, to be dumb or silent. It also means this, to cease to be. Isaiah is no longer himself. Isaiah ceased to be in the presence of a thrice holy God. Yeah. It means to be no more. Just like the seraphim who hid themselves in an attempt not to be, Isaiah was undone. He ceased to be in Christ's presence. Watch this. And I made this, so laugh quietly. I said quietly over here now, lady. Come on now. Forgive me. A bunch of guys up here, they're not going to know. What, does anybody recognize this? What is this? A bow? Okay, thank you. Yeah, a bow. A very nice bow, too. No? Okay. But it's recognizable, right? Okay, as a bow. Still laughing. That's why you need your wife here to make bows. Okay. Now what is it? It's just undone, isn't it? Now it can be used for anything that I want it to be used for. Headband? No, I'm serious though. A pretty wristband for some girls? Whatever. It ceased to be what it was. Now it's ready to be whatever then the Master wants it to be.
Amen.
Just undone. Isn't that the essence of missions? Isn't that just the essence of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I think sometimes we get the cart before the horse on this. The very first thing that we need to be in here tonight is simply undone. Not because we're so wicked of people, but because we've seen Him and we've been affected by Him. See, because when we truly see Him, we're no longer. Are we making sense tonight? It's no longer Jeremiah Baird and what I want or need or desire. It's not even what He wants. It is, but it's just that now I'm undone. So whatever He decides to make of me, then that's awesome. Whether it's a missionary to Timbuktu, whether it's a preacher, whether it's simply to give $5 more in faith promise this year. Let's not think so far. Let's not think it can be something as simple as that. But for many in here, that's not so simple, is it? Come on. Listen, the same faith that it takes to go to Europe, it takes to go to Silverdale, it takes to go across the street. The same faith, it's God's faith. It's the same faith that it takes to give $5 more or $5 less for faith promise. That's a lot harder than giving more. Come on, God ever told you to give less? How's that speak to your pride? What? Less? I can't do less.
Well, if we're undone before Him, then we can. You see, I believe this right here is a perfect picture of humility. Listen to what Andrew Murray says of humility. He says, humility is the sense of entire nothingness, which comes when we see how truly God is all, and in which we make way for God to be all. You see, humility is not thinking less of self, but thinking of self less. Andrew Murray said that. Humility is not thinking less of self, but of self less. Like an empty vessel. Like an empty vessel. Or the earth without form and void. Isaiah right now is ready for God. That's it, he's ready. He's ready. Stop there. Okay, so how do we see God? Well, Psalms chapter 19 says this, the heavens declare His glory. Woo! You ever just looked out in the starry sky?
Amen.
Whoa! Hey, you ever just saw the Olympic Mountains on one side, Mount Rainier on the other side, and a bald eagle flying in the air? Woo! There is a Creator. There is a God. Yeah. And He is glorious. Sure. The Bible also says there in Psalm 19 that not only the heavens declare His glory, but His Word declares His glory. All right, so how are we going to see God? It's going to be through His Word. Yeah. For Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Yeah. But then I'll close with this. If we're going to see God, we're going to have to ask Him. Remember Moses? Remember that guy? Yes. You remember Moses in the burning bush? That was pretty awesome, wasn't it? That'd be an awesome experience to have happen. And then God's talking to Moses there. All right, and then Moses goes on and he sees all the plagues in Egypt and all the miracles. I mean, just incredible, just awesome. And then God comes down in a pillar of fire and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night and leads them along. Wow. I mean, man, that's seeing God, isn't it? And then God Himself comes down in that cloud into the tabernacle and meets with Moses face to face. That is awesome. And then He takes him up into the mount and hands him the Ten Commandments. He's up there for 40 days and man speaks with God. But then God gets upset at Israel and says, hey, I'm going to send my angel. And Moses says, no, if your presence doesn't go before us, I'm not going. And then this struck me the other day, Brother Metzinger. All of that, all that Moses has seen of God. And then he asks him one time, like one last time, and he says this, show me thy glory. You remember that? Show me. Moses has been with God. And he still says, show me thy glory. And God said, okay, I'll put you up in the cleft of the rock. You can see my hind parts. Moses went up to the mount another 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, sorry. Do you remember what happened when he came back down? His face shone. He said, God, show me thy glory. And God showed him His glory. And Moses was affected by an almighty God to the extent that everybody saw how Moses was affected. Yeah. Church tonight, are you seeing Christ? Are you undone before Him? And church, if you're not, would you ask Him? God, show me thy glory.
And then you may have to ask him again, Lord, show me thy glory. And then you may have to ask him another time, Lord, show me thy glory. Yeah. And then you'll be ready to be used by him in whatever mode, whatever fashion that he would have for you. Yeah. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that we can come to you. We can come to you and we can seek your face. And you're not a God that's far off, but you're a God that is near. You're our heavenly Father. And you want to speak to us and you want to show us you. And so, Father, tonight, as the Spirit of God has gauged our perception of you, Father, we may have found out in our own lives that there's something that's hindering our perception. And Father, if that's the case and the Spirit of God has spoken to hearts, I pray that they would move, that they would respond to your Spirit, that they would respond. And that could be coming to the altar, that could be right there kneeling in the pew. But Father, they would get that thing right. And then Lord, as your word has gauged in our lives, Father, maybe we've realized that we've become complacent with our vision of you. That we've desired just to follow our pastor and his vision of Christ, but we're not really willing to seek a vision of our own. And Father, tonight I pray that we would once again then seek your glory in the heavens, in your word. And then, Father, maybe we would just come forward tonight and ask you again, show me thy glory. And Father, we will be affected by you to the point of being undone. And missionaries will be called out of this place. Preachers will be called out of this place. Witnesses will be called out of this place. And you'll be glorified through it all. So Lord, thank you for this night. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes are closed, piano's beginning to play.